Good morning. Let's pray as we get into the second part of God's plan. As with any of the messages that we do here, we don't have a corner on all of the truth. We're looking at this, studying it, digging it up. And if you have perspectives that you want to share, please email them, and I'll try to incorporate anything that sounds like it comes from the Lord's Spirit. So let's ask Him to help us as we delve into the next part of the message of God's plan. We thank You, Lord, for the fact that You have everything under control. We can trust You, even if things around us seem chaotic and as if things are falling apart. In human history, there have been many tragedies, untold, uncounted. Millions of souls have been touched by wars, famines, disease, all manner of struggle. But Lord, in the midst of that, You let us live our lives. You bring us into existence in the midst of all of this turmoil. It's as if we are all born in a storm. But Lord, we know that it won't always be storm. It won't always be death and despair and destruction. It will eventually all culminate into a glorious, marvelous, eternal existence with You. It seems fairy tale-ish to read these things in the scriptures, but we know that You have all things in Your hands. Help Your people, Lord, to have confidence in Your leadership. Help them not to grow weary. Help them to not give up. Help them to hold to You and Your word and Your Savior, our Savior, whom You have sent into the world. In Jesus' name, amen. In God Has a Plan, we learned last week that God on His throne understands what's going to happen. And that plan was contained in a scroll that He held in His right hand. Now that plan, no one could open, no one could look into, except for Jesus Christ. So He was the center of praise and adoration, and He evoked and invoked and inspired angels and elders and the redeemed and all creation to join in a song of praise that we'll all join in one day. That you're in now, you may not realize it, you're actually in a song. But now we're going to start seeing what's inside of this scroll. But before we get to the inside, since it's a scroll sealed up with seven seals, each seal represents something that will happen and has happened historically. There are many ways that people interpret this. Some think it's all future events. Some think that it is all metaphorical or not really literal. I think it's literal, and I think that we're in them. I think that we are somewhere in that scroll because it is the last will and testament of God Almighty. So you and I have our existence, if you will. We're written in that scroll somehow. So let's look into the next part of this message. Again, the Lord saying to the people of Israel, I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord, to prosper you, not harm you, to give you a hope and a future. Many people take that verse and promise to only mean blessing and plans for a future and a hope here on earth. What if He's talking about eternity? What if He's talking about for forever? Because that's the real plan, isn't it? Maybe here on this earth, we won't have everything that we think we ought to have. We won't understand everything that we think we need to understand. But in eternity, the plan will come to a culmination in which I think all of the people of God will cease asking why and simply accept and adore Him who holds all things in the palm of His hands. Take your sermon notes and follow along. Now the Lord Jesus Christ, in taking the scroll from the Father, begins to open each seal in order to finally unroll the scroll. In the opening of each seal, something happens. It's an episode that is released, if you will, in heaven, but then has a corresponding impact on earth. So each seal represents an event. I watched, says John, as the Lamb opened the first of the seven seals. Then I heard one of the four living creatures. You have to go to Revelation 4 to see who they are. They hold up the throne, And one of them says in a voice like thunder, "Come." I looked, and there before me was a white horse. Its rider held a bow. He was given a crown, and he rode out as a conqueror bent on conquest. So what is this seal, the first seal that Jesus opens? It represents the rise of false teaching and false prophets. Because what you see is a rider on a white horse, indicating a military kind of a victor type of an individual. He holds a bow, but there's no arrow in the bow. There's no talk of an arrow here. So how can you conquer without a bow and arrow? False teachers conquer by fomenting upon humanity false religious ideology, false political ideologies, economic ideologies, even so-called scientific ideologies. I maintain that this rise in false teaching is in every facet of human existence, not just scripturally. Although when the Lord talks about this himself in Matthew 24, he indicates that false prophets would arise, and a prophet is one who claims to speak for God. So the corresponding passage is in Matthew 24. What I want to tell you about what we're reading here is what you read in Revelation 6 in the opening of the seals corresponds perfectly with what happens in Matthew 24 when Jesus is asked by the disciples, "What will be the sign of your coming and the end of the age?" And Jesus answers. And in one of the answers, the first thing he says is, "Watch out that no one deceives you." When they ask him, "What's the end of the age going to be like? You know, what's the sign? What's the sign of your coming? What's it going to be like in the future?" "Watch out that no one deceives you. Many will come in my name." Whose name? The name of the Lord. Claiming, "I am Christos. I am anointed. I know. I understand what's going to happen in the future. I'm the one that you've got to listen to." And in my opinion, these are people who claim to have answers for humanity in all of its areas of existence, including, I think, political, economic, philosophical, scientific, etc. They claim to have the answers, they claim to know, and they say, "Listen to me, because I know better than God." And Jesus says here, they will deceive many. So going back to what we just read in Revelation 6, this white horse with a rider goes out to conquer. And how does he conquer? Through false teaching, through false ideologies, through false prophecy. That's how he conquers, okay? Now, the next seal is opened, and the next seal reveals war, which actually is the result of false ideologies. All of the increase of death by war. Why do people go to war? Why do nations fight against each other? There's misunderstanding, or there's a fight over resource, or a fight over borders, or dominance. And it's usually because of what they're being taught or what they themselves think. In the case of, for example, the rise of the Third Reich, the notion in their heads was that we are a superior people. God wants us to have dominance. Everybody else is below us. These are false teachings and false ideologies. They create war, which then causes death to multiply. When the Lamb opened the second seal, I heard the second living creature say, "Come." Then another horse came out, a fiery red one. Its rider was given power to take peace from earth and to make men slay each other. To him was given a large sword. Now, I want to explain to you something about what's happening here with the opening of the seals. In the opening of the seals, what Jesus later teaches in Matthew 24 and in Luke 21 and Mark 13, he teaches this, that it starts this way and it starts small and it gets bigger and bigger. It keeps on getting more and more intense with greater and greater impact with all of the judgments that come, with all of the negative aspects of this, if you will, plan that God is revealing of what's going to happen. Even though God isn't condoning sin and war and killing and murder, he's simply explaining to us what happens and what has been happening since the time of Jesus and before. Wars keep on getting bigger and more deadly and scary. Famines keep on getting bigger and scarier and killing more people. And so do false ideologies. They keep on getting worse and worse. So the Lamb opened the second seal, and here comes this horse on this rider on a red horse, and he's given a large sword. And that infers that his influence, the influence of this individual rider, is that he causes men to not be at peace with each other, and they slay each other in war. So there's an increase in false teachings, false prophets, false ideologies, those false thinking entities that grow up in humanity, create, like, for example, if you go back in history, human history, the rise of Islam, it was an ideology, a religious one, and that was taught in their own writings that they should fight against infidels, which means non-Islamic peoples, and those were the wars between so-called Christianity and so-called Muslim, the Crusades, and many others. There's many other wars that have happened because of this. It was the rise of ideologies that caused these fights to occur. So Jesus, going back to what he was teaching, just to show you that Revelation fits hand in glove with this, because it's the same author, Jesus Christ, you will hear he's answering their questions still. What's going to be the sign of your coming and the end of the age? He said, you will hear of wars and rumors of wars. We just read, a red horse goes out and he takes peace from the earth, so they slay each other. See to it you're not alarmed. He warns us about false prophets. Watch out. Be careful. There's going to be a lot of false prophets. Then he says, war is going to happen because people are going to believe these false prophets. Don't be alarmed that there's wars happening. They're going to happen. Such things must happen. Those are the words of the Lord. They must happen. Why must they happen? Because in the sovereignty of God, he allows these conflicts to occur in order to settle out the way the future is going to come. But the end is still to come. So even though there's false teachers and then wars because of false teachers, there's still a lot more to happen. This is just the opening salvo. These are just the beginnings of problems. In wars, I did a little Wikipedia search on the internet just to see in modern warfare from the Civil War forward, there was many others, you can see casualty rates. And I only wanted to see how many wars resulted in millions of lives lost rather than thousands. There are tons of wars that have had thousands and hundreds of thousands of casualties. And if you add them all up, they get into the millions as well. But the Civil War here in the United States, 1+ million, 1.5 million, many think, with later injuries and succumbing to injuries. World War II, 15 to 40 million. So nobody knows exactly, because they're including civilian casualties as well. That's World War I. World War II had 56 to 85 million. That's approaching 100 million people. Okay. Korea, some of our family members and grandparents, my father-in-law was in the Korean War, 1 to 4 million people died there. Vietnam, 4.5 million. Many of our church congregants were in the Vietnam War, and in the Vietnam War, America lost upwards of 50-some thousand, almost 60,000 people, maybe more, maybe less. But the whole war, because it included France was in this conflict before the United States, it was 4.5 million people. Here's another one, the Great War of Africa, 5 million. There was a civil war in China, which was 8 million. So I just wanted to show you that the scriptures are 100% accurate when they talk about increase of war. People slay each other. When I started to see these statistics about war and death and famine and disease, I started to realize that we're very fortunate to actually be alive, because many people have died in wars and in natural disasters and in famines and in all kinds of different things that had nothing to do with their plans. They weren't able to live out a full life because war or disease cut it short. So when the Lord says something in the scriptures, it is literally true. The next thing that happens is the Lamb opens the third seal. Remember, this is the scroll that contains the information, the plan of God for eternity, for not just earth, but for everything. When the Lamb opened the third seal, I heard the third living creature say, "Come." I looked, and there before me was a black horse. Its rider was holding a pair of scales in his hand. Then I heard what sounded like a voice among the four living creatures saying, "A quart of wheat for a day's wages, 3 quarts of barley for a day's wages. Do not damage the oil and the wine." So what happens next in this third seal? Hyperinflation. Inflation. In other words, as these things continue to escalate, false teachings, false ideologies, wars, conflicts, what then happens is a scarcity of resource. And that creates what's called inflation. Everything starts costing more. Why? Because of what's happening worldwide, because of what's happening because of conflicts. We saw this happen with just lumber prices concerning the latest pandemic with COVID-19, that lumber prices, because everybody was shut down and locked down, nobody was producing anything anymore. So everything started costing more, and the lumber mills were stilled. Nobody could work there. Even some of the slaughterhouses, nobody could work there. So all of the prices for everything started to do this. And we'll see the results of all of this later on when people start to tabulate it more. You can see some of this with other wars and other pandemics that have happened in history. But inflation follows false ideologies, false teachings. Think about what happened because Marxism was foisted upon humanity. Look what happened with the Cold War and everything that happened with economies and problems during the Cold War era. And hyperinflation comes because of these conflicts that occur because of the disagreements over false ideologies, false teachings that the world seems to be predisposed to believe instead of believing the truth of God. So he's simply telling the truth of what's going to happen because of these things. He's not saying that he's making these happen, although being God, he sovereignly allows them to occur. Okay? But hyperinflation. We are now living in a time where things that we now pay for, if you were to go back 100 years into the past, when you listen to some old Westerns and they'll talk about what it costs for like a loaf of bread or for a steak or for a breakfast, you know, or a cup of coffee, might have been 5 cents, might have been 10 cents. Now you're talking about, go to Starbucks and you're talking $5 for one cup of coffee. Well, that's hyperinflation if you think about it, although that might be just luxury. I mean, you could obviously make coffee for a lot cheaper if you used your head, but people, for convenience sake, pay. But hyperinflation goes up, and it costs a lot more to just live. Living costs have gone up tremendously. Housing costs have gone out of this world. Around here in New Mexico, everybody wants to move out of the big cities and get away from the possibility of another epidemic and be a little bit more sparse. And so people are buying up real estate all over the place. So now costs have escalated here for real estate. I don't know what's happening in your part of the world, but that's been happening through history and will continue to happen. And the Lord is saying that all of these things will start small, escalate, and get worse and worse. And if you go and look back through history, you'll see that way back in the day, let's say Middle Ages, things didn't cost like they do now. Now they cost out of this world, right? The next thing that happens is he opens the fourth seal. Now, because of false teachings, false ideologies that create disagreements and peace and war peace is taken away and war happens. And because of that, inflation comes. Now, because of that, we get disease and we get famine because there's scarcity in places where there probably wouldn't be scarcity had everything just remained normal. Had we just allowed people to farm and till and grow crops and do everything they needed to do, we probably wouldn't see famine. Places like Africa, when I was growing up, you would see on television kids starving to death there. It's not because there's no food there. It's because they can't have enough time and rest because of wars and conflicts to plant food and to grow the food and to store the food and to share the food because it's famine. And because of famine, when you're not eating well, you start getting, you start having a susceptibility to disease. When the Lamb opened the fourth seal, I heard the voice of the fourth living creature. So now we have all four of the living creatures who hold up the throne of God say, "Come." I looked, and there before me was a pale horse. Its rider was named Death. and Hades was following close behind him. Their personification of death and Hades, the doorway into what happens after you die physically. He was following close behind. They were given power over a fourth of the earth to kill by sword, famine, and plague, and by the wild beasts of the earth. So, in other words, the Lord is revealing that things start off with false prophets, false teachers going out. They create all kinds of disagreements amongst people groups. They start to fight with each other. And because of that, there's an increase in resource costs. And because of all of this, everybody starts getting desperate. And it gets worse. It doesn't get better. It gets worse. And so famine and disease begin to go out of control. Jesus, going back to Matthew 24, again, to show you that this correlates exactly, nation will rise against nation. Here's the war thing, and kingdom against kingdom. Because of this, there's going to be famines. There's going to be earthquake. Famines happen because, again, not because there's not enough food. You can go and plant food and grow food, but not if everybody's bombing you and shooting you. So there's famines. There's earthquakes. Now natural disasters begin to happen because God begins to punish people groups for doing genocides. God begins to move and to bring consequence upon nations and peoples for doing things that they shouldn't do. Earthquakes in various places. Then he says this, all of this that I just taught to you, all of these seals, all of these four seals, guess what? It's just the beginning. You're like, oh, great. Yeah, just the beginning. And by the way, this has been happening since Jesus Christ taught this. It has been happening. It just keeps getting more and more intense, like birth pains. Well, that's why he uses this phrase. It's the beginning of birth pains. Birth pains start slow. My wife and I have had 6 children and 8 pregnancies. Birth pains always begin slow, and then they get harder and harder, and at the end is when the baby is finally born. So all Jesus is saying and using that metaphor is all of this stuff that's happening is going to happen, and it's going to start slow, and it's going to get harder and harder, frequent, more frequent and more frequent, and at the end of it all, all of these pains, birth pains, they come right on top of each other. There's not even time to breathe. So in my birthing classes that I went to with my wife, they would teach us how to help my wife breathe through the contractions that the baby was coming. So you focus, you take deep breaths, you concentrate so that it helps you with the contraction of the uterus to bring the baby. But at the end, there's no time to do any breathing because it's all right on top of each other. And that's all Jesus is saying. All of this stuff, the four horsemen of the apocalypse, they ride out, and it's already been happening. It's just that it's getting more and more and more intense. If we ever do have another world war, it'll make World War I and II look like child's play because we now have weaponry that can do great damage. Now, the next seal that's open, the fifth seal, is the revelation of martyrdom. There will be, because of all that's happening, with all of the things going on, with disagreements and wars and ideologies and false teachings and false religions, there's a martyrdom that starts to occur. It has been happening all along since Abel in Genesis, but it gets more and more intense for anyone who stands for God because people hate anyone that says God's in control. They hate those who say that it's okay, God knows what it's doing, he's doing. They begin to target people who don't agree with their solutions. So there's a constant martyrdom that continues to increase as we get closer and closer to the end of the age. And that martyrdom is concerning those of true faith. When he opened the fifth seal, I saw under the altar the souls of those who had been slain because of the word of God and the testimony they had maintained. They called out in a loud voice, "How long, sovereign Lord, holy and true, until you judge the inhabitants of the earth and avenge our blood?" Then each of them was given a white robe, and they were told to wait a little longer until the number of their fellow servants and brothers who were to be killed as they had was completed. So all the Lord is revealing here is this: through time and history, the people of God will be persecuted. The people of God will be resisted. The people of God, a certain percentage of them, will be martyred. They will lose their lives physically on earth because of who they stand for. Now, this happens in every arena. In World War II, for example, Adolf Hitler's Third Reich put to death people of all kinds of backgrounds, Jewish, Christian, Jehovah's Witness, Mormon, whatever. He put to death anyone with whom the Third Reich didn't agree with. So martyrdom will happen for lots and lots of different people. But specifically, the people who hold to God and the Bible, they are an open target for those who hate God and don't believe that he knows what he's doing. So that's the fifth seal. So the four horsemen are done. The four horsemen have charged out. And they're already operating, if you will, in human history. And now he reveals to us that because of all of this, there's martyrdom that goes on, and that happens worldwide. I have read, and I can't verify it, but I've read that more Christians are being put to death for faith now than ever before in history. I can't verify it. I just follow Voice of the Martyrs, and they talk about what's happening in places that are really top-down maniacal dictatorships like China or the Middle East, or places where Christianity is illegal. They put people to death just for turning to God and Christ. Then Jesus, again, to show you again that this goes hand in glove, you will be handed over to be persecuted and even to be put to death. And you will be hated by all ethnos, nations. The word nations is the word ethnos, because of me. So it doesn't matter what ethnicity you come from, if you're black or if you're Asian or if you're Hispanic or if you're white, whatever you are, a red man. I've never understood all of these color things because I'm colorblind, by the way. Somebody told me today that my bee sting made my arm red. And I can't even see it because I'm colorblind. Anyway, it doesn't matter tone of skin. Every ethnicity, anyone from any ethnicity that turns to Christ, they'll be hated by not just their own ethnicity, because Jesus said your enemies will be even of your own household. They'll hate you from other ethnicities as well, just because you're Christian, because of me, said Jesus. Next, we see the sign of the Son of God. Jesus was asked in Matthew 24, what is the sign of your coming? And Jesus reveals in Matthew 24, the sign of his coming is none other than he himself. So the sixth seal now is opened. Remember, there's seven seals. We're now at the sixth. That means there's only one more. And when that one more seal is opened, then you can open the scroll and see what God's going to do. So the sixth seal, what happens? There was a great earthquake. The sun turned black like sackcloth made of goat's hair. The whole moon turned blood red. The stars in the sky fell to the earth as late figs drop from a fig tree when shaken by a strong wind. The sky receded as a scroll rolling up, and every mountain and island was removed from its place. I could go into great detail with you, showing you all the different verses that talk about this. There are many. It's simply describing the final arrival of Jesus Christ to earth. His second coming is in play here. There are those who will disagree with this. That's fine. You're entitled to your opinion. I am also entitled to mine, I think, unless you want to shut me down. It's kind of funny to me that in the Protestant Reformation, if you're not Protestant enough, they'll put you in jail. I don't know that everybody knows everything perfectly about what's going to happen, but I do know there are general things that are revealed here in the Bible that anyone can see. So watch what happens. The kings of the earth, the princes, the generals, the rich, the mighty, every slave and every free man hid in caves and among the rocks and of the mountains. They called to the mountains and the rocks, "Fall on us and hide us." Hide us from what? The face of him who sits on the throne and from the wrath of the Lamb. For the great day of the wrath has come. Who can stand? So they understand the non-believing world. That means all people, people of influence, people of no influence, who have not turned to Christ and God. They understand when they finally see him returning. They know it's him. Everybody knows it's him. Even non-believers know that it's him and that the biggest "I told you so" is coming. Jesus, again, going back to Matthew 24, immediately after the distress of those days. What days? The days that were just described in the opening of the last five seals. The four horsemen, the martyrdom. Now in the six seals, the sun will be darkened. remember, we just read that in the opening of the sixth seal. The sun will be darkened. The moon will not give its light. The stars will fall from the sky. Almost the exact same wording. And the heavenly bodies will be shaken. That means even heaven itself will be shaken. And shaken means this, that God's judgment is going to deal with everything from the angelic realms all the way down to human realms. At that time, the sign of the Son of Man will appear in the sky. So what's the sign of Jesus' coming? The sign of Jesus' coming is Jesus. That's the sign. All of these other things were, if you will, setting the board up. They were preparatory. Now, suddenly, the sign of the Son of Man himself comes. And they'll see him coming on the clouds of the sky with power and great glory. Acts chapter 1 talks about this when the disciples were looking up into the sky when he ascended into heaven, and they were told by two angels he'll come back that way as well. He will send his angels with a loud trumpet call, says 1 Thessalonians, same thing, a loud trumpet call, and they will gather his elect from the four winds of from one end of the heavens to the other. That, my friends, is the rapture. There it is right there in black and white. That's the rapture. I've been accused of not teaching the rapture. I believe in the rapture. When it happens is where I have a disagreement with the modern outlook on the way things are going to occur. When I read the scriptures, I see that the rapture happens after all of this other stuff happens, okay? So there you have Revelation chapter 6. And now we get to get into Revelation chapter 7, in which you're going to see something really amazing in the next episode. So the plan of God sounds scary, doesn't it, when you read this? But remember, as you read this, you're reading the lifetimes of many people who have lived and died and served Christ since the beginning of the birth of church, until now, and until the end of time. So no matter what's happening globally, worldwide, or even in heavenly places where Satan and the devil influence, if you will, the false teaching and the false ideologies of this world, there's no concern for us in this sense. God is in control. We don't have to be alarmed. He says, don't be alarmed. I'm in control. I know what I'm doing. You might die a martyr's death. You might die in a natural disaster. You might die in a war. World War I and World War II took many Christian lives. Many of the wars in Europe, same thing. Many Christians were martyred all over the world because whenever a false ideology came in, they would exterminate Christianity in that region because they knew what that brought. So you and I are living our lives in this time. What's happening now? What the Lord said was going to happen, that it's going to get more and more intense, more and more persecution, more and more disease, famine, inflation, all of the things that he indicated. Now, does that mean that I should go hide under a rock until it's all over? Not at all. In my opinion, the Proverbs say that the righteous are as bold as a lion, that no matter what's going on out there, you go out. And you do what God calls you to do, and you strive for what God has put in your heart to strive for, and you don't worry about whether it's going to work or not. You know that there's a God, and that even though there's evil and demons and Satan, you can still live for God in your time. You don't have to shrink back and hide under your bed. You can be courageous. You can be brave. So let's pray as we close up this part of the teaching on God's plan. I thank you, Lord, for the revelation of your plan. Thank you that Jesus Christ took the scroll from your hand and that he began to open its seals. And somewhere we are there. We know that the church has not yet been raptured because we're still here. We're still here, so the church has not yet been raptured. That must mean that we are at least in seal number 5 because it is seal number 6 where the church is finally raptured. So we pray that you'll give us endurance and give us steadfastness to live for you, to serve you and love you in the time that we live in. We don't know what's going on exactly everywhere, but you do. And that's all we need to trust. Trust you and have confidence in you and not be afraid, but to be bold as lions for you. For you are the lion of the tribe of Judah and you are our king. And we look to you, slain Lamb of God, because you're the one that gives us the confidence to stand, the confidence to have a right relationship with you, and the confidence to live out our lives for you in this wicked, dark, God-rejecting, Christ-hating, Bible-hating world. In Jesus' name, amen.